Okay, thanks everyone again for being with me today to start another part of this series in the lead up, actually 6,000 years, a summary pretty much, to the actual Song of Solomon, of where we've come from and where we're going, Father, a review of where we've been in the recreation of the bride in readiness for the hopeful first resurrection. And this one is entitled, A Husband's Rejection of Christ's Headship is Symptomatic of Whores, Exemplified by Women, an Alignment Scorned Contemptuously. And two caption verses, she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Such is the way of adulterous woman, she eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Those were from Revelation 18, verse 7, and Proverbs 30, verse 20. This study examines the biblical definition of a whore or harlot, which is mainly seen as a term related only to women and traditionally associated with using sex for money, morally identified as fornication and adultery. God's wisdom in introducing harlotry directly signifies sex spiritually, representing other doctrines, indicting churches full of equally whoring males. It was the principal proclivity of old Israel in the wilderness, inherently rejecting her Lord's word and without the Holy Spirit that identified her incumbent nature. Jeremiah 3 verse 4, wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the guide of my youth. Immediately recognize the ongoing nature of prior research on breast significations and how eroticized emotions, whether righteous or not, are most intensely experienced during our youth, engraving those experiences indelibly upon us. Jeremiah 3, 5 to 7. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah, the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Our eroticized emotions are so strong that, without Christ's spiritual word, we are heavily driven to fulfill fleshy desires whenever possible, especially in secret, where stolen waters seem sweet. As emerging kings and priests of God fleeing from Babylon, we observe all evil approaching and see our brothers and sisters engaging in harlotry without Christ's spiritual guidance. We often turn a blind eye because we share the same father, Satan, without realizing it, much like the treacherous priests of Judah in old Israel. Jeremiah 3 verse 8 to 10, and I saw, and when all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not returned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. One may ask why Israel would feel justified in backsliding, whenever spiritual and political leaders, similar to one's own parents, lack of discipline from their guardians, it negatively influences their children, leading them to grow up according to their own misguided beliefs, unrighteously, training them up in the way they should or shouldn't go. Jeremiah 3 verse 12 to 14. Go and proclaim these words towards the north. Of course, judgment comes from the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Isaiah 4 verse 1. And in that day, seven women, meaning you and I, formerly Zionist Orthodox Christianity and other religiosities, take hold of one man, meaning Christ, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Of course, that name is another Jesus, and sexual relations with any of many doctrines to take away our reproach. Of course, those sexual doctrines mean spiritually. Eating their own bread and drinking her own water is a self-pleasuring act of being aroused by idolized doctrines. As indicated very early in these studies, the definition of a whore or harlot is a wife who is against her husband, typifying God's elect being given to recognize that they, too, were whores while in Babylon religiosity. Idiomatically, whoredom or harlotry can also describe the misuse of any thing for gain, incomprehensibly indicting Adam as the first whore, since he deliberately and symbolically sold his God-given order of authority to Eve for an emblematic pot of sexual lentils, him, of course, and all men, now in subservience to her. Due to Adam and Eve's curses, especially Adam's self-emasculation and submission to his desire to serve Eve's beauty, the term whore now unfairly condemns women. Shockingly, it subtly and morally, seemingly unjustly, stigmatizes all upright, everyday Babylonian Christian wives who, in effect, demand exorbitant, emotionally driven romantic fees from their husbands before agreeing to intimacy. It is the pattern easily seen in the doctrines of emotionally driven, happy-clappy, Jesus loves you churches of the world, eagerly paying the offering plate as it's passed around. The very spiritual act of harlotry and whoredom. According to God's design, whoredom or harlotry is a prominent theme in the Bible. It is contrasted first with the other mystery woman who produces the bride of Christ, the Lord's wife. Only she is granted to the insight to see and comprehend her former state of whoredom and her submission and her mission, which has remained fundamentally black to the world's perception for 6,000 years. Revelation 17, verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Ezekiel 16, verse 15, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playedst the harlot because of thy renown, and pouredst out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. The first time the term whore is referenced is in Genesis 34 verse 8, where the beautiful Dinah, daughter of Leah and Jacob, went out to see her female companions in the land, and the Hivite Shechem lusted after her and lay with her. To his credit, he didn't leave Dinah adrift as a defiled woman, but sought to marry her. Classically, the self-righteous sons of Jacob demanded a severe restitution from the uncircumcised Shechem, treacherously in his death, leaving poor Dinah ceremonially, unjustly, morally bankrupt, characteristically representing the bride of Christ spiritually before being dragged to Christ. Genesis 34, verse 31, and they, meaning Jacob's sons, said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? The term whore or harlot was never recited until that narrative, and its noting indicated that prostitution was very well known in those days, and colloquially, in contemporary terms, the immutable truth, having started in Eden, is referred to as the world's oldest profession. Whoredom and harlotry have the same meaning. According to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, here is the modern definition of a whore or harlot. Interestingly, the tone of its interpretation downplays God's judgment. Plural for whores, somewhat old-fashioned, disparaging, offensive, a person who engages in sex acts, and especially sexual intercourse in exchange for pay, meaning a sex worker, a sexually promiscuous woman, a mercenary or unscrupulous person, a person who is willing to compromise their integrity or principles for personal gain or in pursuit of something, a person who gets an unusual amount of pleasure from or has an unusual amount of interest in something, an attention whore, publicity whores. The intransitive verb meaning to pursue something unworthy, debasing, unseemly, or false, whoring after prophets, go whoring after their gods. And there's a verse, Exodus 34, verse 15, authorized version. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. Those applicable definitions in conjunction with God's definition of what constitutes a whore are first mentioned in Leviticus 19, verse 29. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. In that verse, note that women symptomatically represent whores for the distinct purpose of indicting the land, the nation represented by her. And Hebrews' definition of whore is from Hebrews 21:81, to commit fornication, be a harlot, commit adultery, to be unfaithful to God. Thus, harlotry, whoredom, and fornication are intrinsically the same. The act of physical fornication, saturating the dating scene today, deliberately experienced with personally perceived innocent sexual incitements, is, by nature, predatory. The fine line, non-genitally, intentionally arousing another person outside of a spousal agreement, either singly or both parties, for narcissistic or monetary gain, is an act of whoredom. A woman considered herself virtuous is unwittingly a whore when all the previously mentioned reasons for sexual ensnarement or for marriage are pursued without the foundation of God's spiritual commands. Spiritually, it means to wittingly or unwittingly present God's word falsely, again, singly, or for both narcissistic and or monetary gain, and is what the world's churches and Christendom excel. However, it must be acknowledged that male or female arousal is not always a result of fornication, most notably among men and particularly youth, involuntarily, with often tiresome inconvenience. In women, clandestinely, it is not as dramatic, infrequent, and at least initially in many women, mostly unnoticeable. Yet in both minds, intentional psychological arousal assuredly is, and likely denotive of fornication. That is how the Lord made our impending procreative process responses, which Babylon typically highlights lewdly. Rather, wouldn't it be beautiful if both sexes, upon recognizing those intrinsic qualities indicative of all beasts, quietly within, gave glory to God for the wonderment he created in our sexuality. Psalms 113:14-16. I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. Now for the bride, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, mine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Euphorically, contrary to all men and women cursed in Eden, the bride glorifies virtuously in a male's involuntary physical ravishment, which typifies her Lord's spiritual ravishments. If she didn't, she is signified by all Israel, symptomatically a whore. Psalms 139:17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto thee, O God! How great is the sum of them! And the sum of them is what we will belatedly study in the Song of Solomon. Male arousal is largely visual, and young girls keenly observe for their cunning, unwitting, villainous gains, while the virtuous young woman thanks God and gracefully uses it for her righteous Abishag and Shulamite-like courtship for marriage. Women, upon learning from their hormone-driven youth that male arousal, even from the most innocent, alluring feminine observation or, absurdly, non-feminine sensuality, can trigger his near-instant involuntary awakening, utterly ignoring, indicative of Christ's unified and interactive joy in the purity of spirit of the Father, and he for him. In the flesh, however, When there is no authentic interest in possible marriage, and either party observes or imagines another's rubbishment and deliberately advances that person's elation indecently, either or both begin participating in the act of fornication, since they are merely advancing the dead-end fruitlessness of lust. Just as old Israel detested her lords like bread, lusting gastronomically for the sensualities her neighbours, God's promise, are typified by Aholibah's overemphasized intrigue for male arousal. Ezekiel 23, verse 19 and 20. Yet she multiplied her whoredoms in calling to remembrance the days of her youth, wherein she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt, for she doted, meaning to have inordinate affection or lust, upon their paramours, whose flesh is as the flesh of asses, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. An ass is another name for a donkey, also called a jackass. If Ezekiel were referred to as ashes, if Ezekiel was referring to ass's flesh as being a muscular build, surely he would have juxtaposed it with horses, as did Job in Job 39:19-25. However, the two women were enamoured with the size of their paramour's members, since an ass's body compared to a horse's is much smaller, but his member is comparatively significantly longer, perhaps with the same girth as a horse's. The men of Egypt's alleged issue volume of horses deliberate hyperbole, one can imagine them loudly exclaiming in wide-eyed ravishment, gaiety, since the members' reflexive response validated the girl's beauty and resultant ease of male arousal. Typical of Babylon, particularly in 2025, or now 2026, Aholibah's girlish new interest in response to male sexuality starkly contrasts with a righteous young woman's God-fearing interest, where her flesh, where her fresh natural curiosity and joy glorifies God for the wondrous design of her male compatriots and her body's intriguing design and responses, opposite to a whore's. The Shulamite, we shall see, glorifies righteously, unwittingly signifying its spiritual connections. Philippians 3:17-21. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Consequently, adultery, based on Christ's spiritual definition, can take place without penetrative sex when there is a deliberate pursuit of non-genital breast incitements or other caressings, either physically or mentally, insidiously moving closer to the act of adultery. Matthew 5:27-28, ye have heard that it is said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Ephesians 2 verse 3, among whom also all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the lust, desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Almost all working women, meaning harlots or whores, don't engage their customers for personal pleasure. Their natural or imagined enhanced beauty and elegance influence their ability to charge astronomical fees accordingly. So-called high-end business escorts with genuinely influential intelligence and beauty charge thousands of dollars a day. We hope to see, paradoxically and shockingly, a denotation of the everyday virtuous wife. Amos 3 verse 5, how can anyone catch a bird without using a net? Does a trap spring shut unless something is caught? And paraphrased, how can a woman, meaning a church, catch a man, meaning a laity with another Jesus, without using a net? Does a trap spring shut unless something is caught? Of course, we are constantly aware that ensnaring women in representing a church with a relatively equal number of men who represents them as a snare of women is the aggregate, meaning the collection, the entire group. Why does one's daughter and not a wife first represent a whore? In answer to that, the wife was first someone's daughter, and her God-designed, inherently ensnaring heart beneath her youthful breasts, flooded with eroticizing hormones, drove her emotions in lust to be imprinted with romantic love. Those glorious and newfound emotions she, and of course her male compatriots, discovered, particularly without scriptural belief, were too powerful to resist. As seen in the beast studies, in the breast studies, she is like most young birds and animals born who generally follow the first thing that moves, usually imprinted on their attentive mother. Accordingly, a young woman's bruised teats and breasts from torrid incitements profoundly imprint her first sexual experience, cheating her and her otherwise future husband of the profound nature of being embossed on and in each other. Based on the scriptures, specifically the account of Dinah in Genesis 34, she was not viewed as a whore or a harlot by her family, but rather a rhetorical question spoken by her brothers, Simeon and Levi, as a victim of sexual violation, whose forced degradation was treated as a severe dishonor to her family. So, too, and spiritually does belief in false doctrine for an elect espoused to Christ disgrace Christ's marriage bed. From those verses, we see that Adam and Shechem did with Dinah. See what Adam and Shechem did with Dinah found Eve irresistible. To satiate his newfound emotional lusts, he traded God's word for them and was thus the first to spiritually embody whoredom. Consequently, Eve immediately followed through with her instigating lusts, having been handed the trading of Adam's headship to her to indulge her emotions. There we go, spiritual whoredom in Eden, substantiating that the origin of their always highly aroused sensitivities stems rudimentarily from Adam's pudenda and Eve's breasts, hedonistically fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The stage is set for humanity's wholesale physical and spiritual whoredom, no more graphically portrayed and typified by old Israel's exhilarative preference to dance naked than to keep her Lord's commandments, well favoured by her neighbours, as are today's young women parading the beaches with three figurative eye patches, nudistly covering the indicative remnants of her once glorious femininity, posing duck-lipped selfies with the daughters of the land, a gazing stock, and, as always, representing our former ways spiritually, most humiliatingly. Nahum 3, verse 4 to 7. Because of the multitude of thy whoredoms, of the well-favoured harlot, meaning good, pleasant, agreeable, favour, grace and charm, such a harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? A well-favoured harlot is one endowed with every nuanced element of feminine beauty, instantly arousing youthful lusts, all spiritually distinguished by the laity, who quickly nod in mesmerised agreement to the magical emotional ravishments of another, of a different Jesus. Proverbs 6:26, for the levy of the prostitute is, meaning spiritual poverty, and the adulteress preys upon her, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. The embryonic bride of Christ initially is very much a part of the great whore of Babylon. She was her harlot daughter, born of that imposing, negatively well-favoured whore, with her skirts riding high, while inelegantly astride the beast and the hearts of lustful men. It's in Revelation 17, verse 7. The Lord inspired Nahum to depict her skirts theatrically draping over her face to emphasize her collective nudity. The incipient bride is reflect upon her self-same spiritual nudity. In contemporary society, although not ordinarily socially accepted unless under deranged circumstances, women's so-called right to exercise autonomy over their bodies in nearly every nude state has become ridiculously prevalent. Consequently, many men, bar the libertine, desensitized to such expressions, tend to regard this type of woman as unsuitable for marriage. In that women represent a church and mankind, they are thus the biblical sub-protagonists, and as Adam and Eve covertly and unwittingly, by God's design, embody harlotry, so do all women, and of course men, whether single or married, who consider themselves virtuous, are utterly ignorant of their spiritual harlotry. Once, most married people saw their espousal as sanctified for life. Now in 2026, and unwittingly, because of Adam's curse, men are avoiding marriage since they only see it as a battlefield where everything they work for to procure a wife and build a life leaves them as the outright losers domestically, financially, and emotionally. As he experiences it, it is a place where his wife's equally non-directional opportunities, frustrations, and righteous lust chaotically implode. Since Eden, and because her curse now vastly amplifies her resentment that her husband is ahead, she now feels unseen, unheard, and unappreciated. She embodies the concern of all feminists resentment about losing their self-identity due to their husband's traditional Christian concept of headship and her subservience to him. To compensate, she becomes proud, outspoken, strong, independent, and self-reliant, the exact opposite of the godly women in Scripture, like Esther and the righteous patriarchal fathers' wives. It's a mask she semi-consciously spent years constructing to protect the prisoner inside. She yearns to break free, liberated by the strength and presence of an influential leader who knows where he is going in life. Unintentionally, a Christ she has never envisioned will be so captivating due to the indecisive Christian men supposedly embodying him. In marriage, she is now at her most vulnerable, since her husband, having not listened to their Lord and subject to both curses, injured in his privy and stones, doesn't know how to repair the breach. Consequently, Eve's of the world, feeling emotionally abandoned, seek to fulfill the void of what she is missing, often from the deeply etched memory of her youthful, heady first sexual encounters. For some, Aholah and Aholibah, like Paramour, who she knows is driven by his gender-specific lust, she can subtly use to her advantage. Classically, the young Ecclesiastes 7:22-29 female's nature returns to reaffirm that she is still lusted after, and she discreetly re-ensnares her target with innocent, ensnaring cheating to test the waters, often followed through in conventional adultery, representative of classic whoredom. The following verse compares all the widows who have not denied the faith and are to be cared for by their family to younger widows. However, younger widows, from an animal beast perspective, are mostly yearly oestrus, are realistically always in season and inherently seek male companionship through their agile methodology. 1 Timothy 5 verse 11 directly corresponds to Eve's curse, indicting her being against her husband, typifying whoredom and directly pointing to mankind being against Christ. In Christianity, and particularly for the elect of God, it is no more poignant than in marriage to depict how we treat our husband, Christ. We were the younger widow being divorced from Babylon, waxing wanton in our natural sexual impulses to beget children and be romantically nurtured. And we do begin our journey in marrying our Lord and husband, Christ. First, by stepping down from our costly throne of demanding to be the centre of attention and worship. 1 Timothy 5:11, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton, meaning sexual impulses, physically represented spiritually, when they begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. Our former whore's costliness bites our spiritual understanding when we were rich in her doctrinally arousing falsehoods, elevating herself above her husband, carnally demanding that for her to be aroused sexually, her husband must first make her ready. While that outwardly is partly true, that physical reality in marriage of making herself ready, pointing to its overarching spiritual authority alluded to in these introductory studies, is henceforth a weighty influence on all carnal marriages expressly spiritually lived this very day and every day since the cross. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Revelation 18:15-19, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Costliness comes from Greek 5094, of course means preciousness, and from G5093, held in honour, esteem, especially dear, and that again in turn from 5092, a valuing by which the price is fixed, the price paid or received for a person or a thing bought or sold, and again from G5099, to pay, to recompense, suffer punishment. Those meanings are classically indicative of the price of a whore, where the everyday self-emasculated husband semi-consciously is paying his wife her costly fixed price for his romantic ministrations, veiled as punishment. Unconsciously and at heart, and depending upon the psychological makeup of his wife's highly variable consciousness of her actions, it denotes her psychological pleasure from witnessing her husband's sexual frustration, lust, or longing for something he cannot have, and is generally categorized as a form of sexual sadism or indirect vicarious sadism. This issue is widespread on beaches, at catwalk, downtown and throughout society, often perpetuated passively through Babylonian Christian marriage and distinctly, characteristically whorish. That 1 hour she is made desolate is an outstanding part of her intentional earthquake of understanding that she was the precious and the honourable God, lowercase, prematurely sitting on her husband's throne, pretty much telling him how to arouse her. Even then, should she ever engage enthusiastically, since, and as will be seen in the soon studied section on romanticism, she holds all men in constant state of sexual tension, now centered on her unwitting another Jesus husband. The overextended anticipation and sociopathic lust in seeing her unconsummated panting is by far more satisfying than giving the God of gods the glory for her glorious young, feminine, lively ministrations to her husband. That costliness keeps him eternally focused on her, making himself ready for her, the opposite of making herself ready, that in carnal marriage is likewise never satisfying. It all represents the customary Christian self-considered good housewife, genuinely and Martha-like ministering outwardly to her husband and family, thinking that those physical ministrations, while inarguably incredibly gratefully received, are not the prime doctrine of physical arousal to be seen spiritually. Her arousal narrative, learned in Eden, is indeed a dreadful cost in the bedroom, and consequently to their marriage, as it was with old Israel to her lord and husband. That is how the everyday church-going, morally virtuous, homemaking wife can be identified as a whore to substantiate this study's heading. Our husband's rejection of Christ's headship is symptomatic of whores impertinently rejected. Primarily, it is because Adam is the first signified whore, in that he is first to reject his emblematic husband, Christ's word, to righteously lead his wife, Eve, and protect them both from rejecting their Lord's word. The re-emphasis is that carnally in marriage, the relatively innocent homemaking Christian wife's injured heart signified in her breasts, growing loathing of the spousal Jews for her husband's foreplay overtures, now represented spiritually, negatively, is directly characteristic of rejecting Christ's word. Her nuanced loathing of her husband's advancing intimacies is precisely what the literal harlot naturally experiences, having no connection with the dishonourable man's breathless, estranged submission to her. It precisely reflects her husband's experience with his good, inverted commas, wife's similar responses. To the Orthodox Christian wife, a most obnoxious concept, egregiously rejecting an alarming lead a note of every man's and husband's submission to women and wives of them being against Christ. Henceforth, and typified by Eve, whoredom began in Eden by a woman's deception, effortlessly titillating her husband's lust for her. Now, and for 6,000 years, as Zionist Orthodox Christianity in control of church headship, their male priests and elders being injured in their privy members and stones. It all represents forced exile where they prospered as harlots in Babylon. Revelation 17, verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Jeremiah 29, 4 to 7, this is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles who were carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Seek, meaning the whorish prosperity of the city to which I have sent you as exiles. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for if it prospers to you, you too will prosper. And, of course, we did prosper in Babylon as harlots, out of which comes the righteously prospering, now virgin bride of Christ, culminating in the Song of Solomon. As in any carefully managed business, and because money is at stake, prostitutes possess a refined understanding of intimate sensuality, enabling them to accurately discern the desires of men in a veneral context, an irony that wives, always indicative of old Israel, increasingly feign ignorance. She, the everyday Christian homemaking wife, is the mother of, in Hosea 4 verse 5, resisting her husband's ministrations, with her feet really in her house, out and about, receiving imagined love by being needed, willfully overworked by the local church and friends rather than making herself ready for her husband, the priest, ironically injured in his privy and stones. Hosea 4 verse 4 and 5. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Because of Adam and Eve's curses, they both fail each other and fall in the night because they are both emblematic whores. Isaiah 4 verse 6 and 7, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Most certainly, and because of Adam's sin in Eden, rejecting God's word in favour of every lustful detail for Eve, thus substantiating her beauty, affirming her superiority over Adam, their natural glory of nudity in and for each other is turned into shame. Now Adam must worship the now strange woman, Eve, sitting as a queen, waiting for her husband to make himself ready, and ironically seeing 7,000 years of sorrow as an adulterous woman, the everyday homemaking wife wiping her mouth, satiated with that lying dogma of romanticism, indeed a heavy price for all husbands and wives to pay the price of whoredom. Christ, the arch nemesis of a carnal whore, too, bought us by the immensely costly price of dying for our whoredoms. Proverbs 6:23-29. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is bought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbour's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. 1 Corinthians 6:17-20. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a man can commit is outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. And of course, physically while still flesh, but most exceedingly spiritually. Next, Lord willing, we'll study some aspects of her, the regular church-going Christian male and female, anchoring her whoredoms, since sensually now is far more appealing than some esoteric spiritual inheritance. And that concludes this section in whoredoms. We look forward to the next one. Next study. Thank you everyone for being here.